Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's James.
The craziest friggin' guy I have ever worked with.
And Wiggy.
Wiggy calling anybody fat is like OJ calling someone a murderer.
With Andy Hart.
Patriots.com, we have done online radio.
But that's not real radio.
James, Wiggy, and Hart.
How about my former partner, Mark James?
Social media, 50.
You're blocked.
He's terrible on social media. He doesn't do anything.
Now you can shut the hell up.
Entertainment value, I gave him a 93.
Look at Jerry, man. I love
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Likeability. Negative 54.
By the way, I'm glad there's one person laughing at this.
But he did get a 96 on sobriquets.
At least I know how to pronounce sobriquet.
Andrew Trashner.
Ball sky to right field. First pitch. It is deep and it is gone.
95% we will see Gronkowski this year or next year.
I think he is coming back. I've said that all along. I say no.
Not coming back, period.
It's not going to happen this year.
I'm not going 99%, but I'll go 75, 80%. Yeah, I think he's coming back.
He's not coming back. He's Dunski. Next Tuesday, I will have an answer for you.
James, Wiggy, and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, James, Wiggy, and Hart. We'll be talking pretty soon to Mike Florio. Until then, you know what's amazing is that the conversation, when we go to commercial, continues off the air. And Wiggy, I'll give him credit, no matter how absurd or preposterous his points might be, he doubles.
They're not absurd, but I'm looking.
He triples down on them.
I'm looking at this, right?
Yeah.
So
we found a flaw.
Yeah. Right. So I'm looking at this.
Another
thing.
One.
They have the Kansas City Chiefs at 14, and they have, but it says the quarterback at 18. When you look at the quarterbacks in the league right now, and you look at how you would rank them, I would rank the same way Madden 20 did. I'll give them credit on that one. They got that one right. The video game. I'd rank Patrick Mahomes number one, and I'd rank Tom Brady number two. That's how I would rank your quarterbacks.
Interesting. All right. We have the aforementioned Mike Florio right now from Pro Football Talk. Mike, your article came out. By the way, first time talking to you in a very long time, so good to talk to you. But you have a source close to Gronkowski pegging his potential for a first annual unretirement at 40%. Now, why 40%?
Well, it's not my number. It's my source's number. My number would be higher, frankly. I would be slightly north of 50 because I think once Gronk sees the train rolling without him, he's going to realize how much he misses it. He's not going to miss the offseason program. He's not going to miss the preseason. He's not going to miss training camp. But once the games start being played and he sees them on TV and he's reading about what his teammates are doing and he's seeing highlights, he's going to get that itch, I think. The question is, does he scratch it?
Mike, is there any indication from the people you've spoken with that this was a money thing, or did he truly want to retire this spring?
Well, I remember back in the days preceding Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis, there was a rumor making the rounds that Gronkowski would retire after that game, presumably if the Patriots won. And remember, he was asked the question, any truth to the rumor that you may retire? He said, I don't know how you heard about that. So there was a that to be heard about. My information was that his family had really been working on him to walk away, primarily because of his injury history, specifically the concussions. Remember, he got blown up in the AFC Championship game. I think it was by Barry Church.
Jacksonville.
And that was causing parents, brothers, etc., to push him to walk. And he ultimately didn't. I think if they had won the Super Bowl, we would have done this whole thing last year. The speculation, will he be back for 2018 or won't he? He would have retired then, and then we would have spent the offseason wondering how long it would stick. Now here we are. He finally walked away with that Super Bowl trophy in hand, walking off into the sunset like Jerome Bettis, Michael Strahan, John Elway. And so now the question becomes, is he going to decide, hey, I still want to do this? And I think he still enjoys playing. I don't think he enjoys all of the other stuff. But I think he enjoys playing, and I think he's going to miss playing. And the one key thing that we reported yesterday, and the thing that really caught my eye, the notion that a direct appeal from Tom Brady could be the thing that ultimately makes the difference for Gronk.
And no one enjoys playing, Mike, unless you're Tom Brady. They enjoy the offseason and training camp. No one enjoys that. But you said you had a 50%. I have it more like 95%.
That 95% is the kiss of death, though. Anytime anybody reports that something's 95% likely to happen, it never happens.
Well, then let's call
it 94.
All right, 94%, because, like you said, I think he's going to get that itch. The biggest question that everybody wants to know is when. And I had said, I think either this year, but definitely by next year. Do you have any indication when that return of Gronkowski? I know you have it at 50%, but potentially could be.
I think it's during the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he does like a Roger Clemens type of a deal. You know, I used to think Brett Favre eventually would do something like that. But for a quarterback, you kind of have to be there the whole way. You can't just show up and say to whoever's playing quarterback for the team that you want to play for the rest of the season, give me the ball and go take a seat. I think that creates, you know, hard feelings. But if Gronk just shows up at a skill position, tight end, they put him in the field, they plug him in, and off they go. I think during the season, and I think that October, November is really the period to watch. Now, remember, week 13 is the deadline, the ultimate deadline for him to come back, to emerge from the reserve retired list and play for the Patriots this year. So he has until, I think it's the Tuesday after week 13. That's the drop-dead date. And, you know, the other question is, will Bill Belichick welcome him back? I have wondered whether or not Belichick would say, we don't want to go down this path. We don't want to create this precedent. We don't want to give veteran players a way to avoid all of the grunt work and then just show up and take part in the glory. But I don't think Belichick will get hung up on that because it's Gronk. Maybe for somebody else he would, but not for Gronk. I think he's going to realize we'll take what we can get out of this guy.
And you know what? You bring up a good point, because the next thing I wanted to ask you, if he does this, and let's say he is successful, is this something that we see him do for the next couple of years? Like, where does he go from there? Does he say, okay, I'm going to, you know, the following year I'm going to miss the first six or seven games?
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, if he comes back, does that mean he's back indefinitely until he's 35 or 36? Or do we just do this routine every year? I come back for the balance of the season, and I worry about next season when next season comes. And I think that's what he's going to do. And until he has some other project that would contractually prohibit him from saying, hey, I'm going to go play football for the rest of the year, I think it's still in play. You know, and I don't know if he's going to get into movies or acting or what. I think he's a better actor than he used to be, which isn't saying much because the bar was as low as it possibly could be. But, you know, unless he's shooting a film somewhere, he's going to have that ability to say, I'm going to go back and play. And I think that this is the new reality, that this year, next year, the year after, we're going to be talking and thinking and wondering whether or not he's going to come back. Even if he doesn't come back this year, we're still going to be wondering next year whether he does. I think as long as Brady's there, there's going to be that chance that he comes back.
Speaking of Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, one of the things, too, he was actually, you know, practicing last week with Brady in L.A. at UCLA. And then I think the thing that, you know, he sort of felt comfortable, I'm talking about Gronk, he let his hair down on the red carpet with Drew Brees. He's like, oh, I'm coming back. Just sort of matter-of-factly. And I think that was the point, that was the decider for me, that this guy will be back and he'll be back this year. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Was that more of a deciding factor for you, that you thought that he'd be coming back when you said that to Drew Brees?
Here's what did it for me. He was on with Rich Eisen within the past couple of weeks, and he said, I don't know how I'm going to feel once the games start. And that reminded me of Brett Favre with David Letterman in April of 2008, just 2 months after he'd retired for the first time. Nobody thought he would come back. We didn't know he was going to be wired that way to retire and unretire, retire and unretire. And he was on with Letterman, and he said, I don't know how I'm going to feel. Or basically, I don't know what's going to happen once training camp rolls around. I think that, or something, it was even stronger than that. It was, when training camp starts, something's bound to happen. That's exactly what he said. And I remember thinking then, holy crap, this guy is coming back. And he did. Now, what Gronk said wasn't as strong as what Favre said, but that made me, you know, draw that bright line back to that moment and say, because it fits with this idea that Gronk can say, I'm retired, I'm retired, I'm retired. He doesn't realize, though, how he's going to feel in September. And I think he knows in his heart he's going to feel very differently when that Patriots train starts rolling without him. That is a cold splash of water for a player to see the world continue to move without you, the football world continue to move without you. And when you believe you still are healthy enough, young enough, and capable enough to play, that's a hell of a magnet to draw you back onto that train. Because, yeah, they're not disbanding the team because Gronk is retired. They're going to keep moving forward, and they're going to try to win a Super Bowl without him. And I think at some point he realizes, I can still get on that train, and maybe I will.
Mike, I was just going to ask about that very thing, because this Patriots passing attack has a lot of questions this year. Their left tackle is open. Tight end is open. Anything beyond Edelman on the passing game is really an open battle. If they're stumbling and struggling early in the year in the passing game, does that make him more or less likely to come back?
Oh, I think it makes Tom Brady more likely to make the phone call that could end up being the thing that gets him to come back. I think that's the key. If Brady just is exasperated by the quality or lack thereof of his targets, and the Patriots are struggling, and you know, we know that if they're ever going to struggle, it's going to be early in the season. That's become kind of a thing now in the past 5 or 6 years, and Bill Belichick traces it all to the lack of the reps and the opportunities to get his team ready before week one. So, you know, you struggle through September, you get that phone call from Brady, and you're already thinking about, boy, I'd like to go back and play. And, yeah, I think that it's not going to affect Gronk as much as it's going to affect the willingness of Brady to pick up the phone and say, hey, Gronk, I need you.
All right, Mike, thanks for the time.
All right, see you guys. Have a good one.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Why 40% then?
Well, it's not my number. It's my source's number. My number would be higher, frankly. I would be slightly north of 50 because I think once Gronk sees the train rolling without him, he's going to realize how much he misses it.
All right, Wiggy Hart and James. It was Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. By the way, I did get one thing wrong. Drew Rosenhaus is apparently not an investor in ProFootballTalk.com, for the record. So that was on me. Want to grab Mike in Framingham here real quick, who's been on hold for a while. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Some of you were talking about the uncertainty with Brady. I remember a couple of years ago, everyone thought that Kaepernick and RG3 were the wave of the future, and I think there's more uncertainty with Deshaun Watson, Andrew Luck, and Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I mean, they're the future of the league.
My gripe is this, right? This is what I've always said, right? When you look at what we see on the field right now, whether it's, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck, name any quarterback out there that's up and comers. You look at what Brady's been able to do consistently, and you see what he did last year. Like, I don't see him slowing down. I see him maybe, you know, he had a little bit of a down year, but I see him, you know, basically getting better next year, not making the same mistakes that we saw him make this year. We saw him forcing a lot of throws in there, trying to do a little bit too much. And I think that at one point in time last year, he even said it. He goes, you know what? I'm forcing things and I'm trying to do too much.
And I also think a factor is the guys around him. It was a factor last year where they had to go out and get Josh Gordon. The offense kind of melded into different directions a couple different times.
Right.
Who does he have this year? So I'm not even saying it's just because Brady could fall back. There could be some issues this year. But my biggest issue is, when you look at a Deshaun Watson, you know he's on the uptick, or you hope, because of his age. That's just the natural progression.
See, that's what you're basing off
his age. It's not the natural progression for a 42-year-old to have the year 20 jump and get better.
Right.
And we can consider last year it was a down season for Brady.
The way the quarterback position is played in today's NFL, and even in NFLs of years past, the one thing that it's played, and they've always said this, and they'll say it in the locker room, they'll say it in meetings, the quarterback position is 90% mental. It's played from the neck up, right?
Sure.
And we haven't seen any, you know, we haven't seen Brady slow down in any way as far as him not being able to see the game, him not understanding the game. If anything, he said the game has slowed down for him because he's seen so much. There's so much. Everything you think you could throw at him, he's already seen two or three, five times over. And so now in his mind, the game has slowed down. Like these young guys like Mahomes, Wentz, Luck, even Deshaun Watson, they haven't seen a lot of things yet. So the game isn't as slow for them. That's why you see them making a lot of bad decisions.
They don't have the answers to the test, as Brady put it a couple years ago. Remember when he said, would I stop now? I have the answers to the test.
And I like Andrew Luck, but come on, let's be honest. Andrew Luck is still making some of the same mistakes now that he was making in his rookie year.
But so doesn't Cam Newton.
Yeah, but Cam Newton is nowhere on Brady's page.
No, I know. But I'm saying, Andrew,
if you ask Chris Sims, he is.
Andrew Sims Luck, to me, has a better chance of winning a Super Bowl in the future than Cam Newton.
I would say yes.
But him, Andrew Luck's been pretty good when healthy.
Right, but
he was young. He took the
Colts
to the title game.
But even when he's healthy, what I'm saying is he's still making some of those bad decisions. And you see Andrew Luck do this, make some of the bad decisions that he made when he was young. And he's doing it now, five, 6 years in the league?
He also has a lot of pressure. They need to build around him, offensive line-wise and weapons, other than T.Y. Hilton. Eric Ebron had a crazy bounce-back year
last
year.
Yeah, they got Devin Funchess from Carolina.
Yeah, so we'll see. But if you had to pick a quarterback in the NFL, Andrew Luck is a top quarter of the league.
I'm not saying he's not, but what I'm saying is the distance between Brady and all those other guys, I think there's still a huge gap when you talk about Brady, Luck, Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson.
Wentz? You think he's okay?
Wentz had one good year,
and he's always hurt.
He hasn't proven it. That's the other thing about Brady we've seen, his durability.
Did you guys see NBC Sports Boston? They've been doing these Patriots off-season debates.
Yep.
Yeah. And the one they did yesterday was the toughest Patriots quarterback, Steve Grogan, Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady.
Who
is it?
It's Brady.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that because that's how everybody voted. I would vote Steve Grogan.
Grogan, as a running quarterback,
took a beating like you wouldn't believe.
He had a neck roll, for God's sake. We're not saying he's not tough, but I'm saying over the long period of time, I think the toughness plays into your longevity, You're able to deal with certain things, come back from it, certain injuries, play through this.
Your thumb pops out 1 week, you're in the Super Bowl the next.
Right, I'm not saying, you got a giant gash. I'm not saying that those guys weren't tough, but I think when you look at Brady, just the longevity and how he's been able to play and he doesn't miss games. But then again, I think the whole toughness thing in the NFL is overrated because everybody's tough. To play in the NFL,
no, you are.
You got to be tough.
But Wiggy, Grogan didn't last 20 years.
Right.
And neither did Bledsoe.
Right.
So that's the thing.
But they were all tough.
Everybody, even Tony's, to play in the NFL, you have to be tough.
And
you're tough.
Yeah. To play in the NFL.
Well, of course, Wiggy said. Hey, and don't forget, Grogan played when the opposing line, when LT could go for
kill
your knees,
hour,
could
yeah.
do whatever
could
he, want,
do whatever he
wanted
you,
to you.
Right.
Ragdoll you, do whatever he wanted to you. Thanks to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com for coming on. Great job by Ken, Eamon. Wiggy, Hart, and James will be back tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So
nice.
Same bad time, same bad channel. Dale and Keith coming up next.
Investigating a burglary. Is that how you say?
I'm Mike Matnansky. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.